John, do you sometimes get distracted and you lose your train of thought?
What'd you say?
Exactly.
There you go.
You get to the grocery store, you forget what you were there for.
Sometimes, yeah. I think it's more genetic with me than it would relate to pesticides and things. But I think we live in a distracted world.
We do, but that's really the question. When you get kind of the evidence that we got in this recent study that links these pesticides on vegetables to ADHD, possibly, you got to kind of sift through that to see whether there's a cause and effect here. This article was published this week in the Journal of Pediatrics. The authors studied data that was gathered by the Centers for Disease Control. It looked at more than 1,000 children and found a high correlation between pesticide exposure and the development of ADHD. Here to sort through this, we have Dr. Catherine Carr, a pediatrician and environmental health specialist at the University of Washington. And Kate Daly joins us once again. She writes the Human Condition blog for Newsweek. Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Carr, there's this study that was published in the Journal of Pediatrics. It links these pesticides to ADHD. But a couple years ago, in the same journal, they linked ADHD to cigarette smoking. Are we talking about two different causes?
We're talking about a disease that, like many other of the chronic diseases we are concerned about in kids, asthma, obesity, diabetes, that are multifactorial and complex disorders that have a multiple number of risk factors associated with them that probably ultimately work in concert to determine whether or not a brain will be affected to manifest symptoms such as ADHD.
Okay, so first of all, tell me, what is this pesticide that we're talking about here?
Well, we're not talking about a single pesticide. What this study was able to do with this biomonitoring data from the CDC is look at the metabolites of a common class or group of pesticides called the organophosphates.
Where are they found?
Well, they're used widely in agricultural production, particularly in fruit and vegetable production. They're also somewhat available, but more limited as regulatory processes have ensued for household use in the garden and indoors for control of pests.
So what they're really finding is that there's when they talk about a high correlation, that's not cause and effect. That's just saying, look, we found out that in a lot of cases, kids who developed HD were also ingesting this chemical.
That's right, and that's how human studies, observational studies such as this, proceed. They can show us this association rather than identify cause and effect. To get a better understanding of cause and effect, you have to look at not a single observational study like this in kids, but actually the whole scientific evidence base. What do we know about the mechanism or the biology or the plausibility of how exposure to organophosphate pesticides might affect the brain of a child to cause something like ADHD? Well, actually, we have a pretty growing, emerging evidence base using both experimental studies, which are typically done in animals like rats and mice, dosing them and showing how the development of the cells in the brain and how they talk to each other with their chemical messages can be disrupted to lead to the underlying biology that we think explains how ADHD manifests in a human child. So okay. You take that along with not just this study, but several studies now that have shown children in real-life populations in the United States with higher exposure to these kind of pesticides are more likely to have diagnoses like ADHD or other behavior and learning problems.
Okay. Kate Daly, who writes the Human Condition blog for Newsweek, you just heard pediatrician Catherine Carr. Can we wash this off when we wash our vegetables? Can we get these pesticides off?
You know, I think that there is always benefit to washing your produce before you consume it, but what these studies are really showing and what we're seeing, as the doctor said, in more and more studies, is that this isn't something that is a consumer health problem. This isn't something that where the onus should fall on the consumer to fix. I think we have a culture in this country where if you eat your fruits and vegetables, if you exercise and lose weight, if you get your mammograms, then no ill health will befall you. And that's really not true. What it's looking like with more and more studies about the dangers of chemical exposure to our health shows that there needs to be kind of more legislation and more regulation so that there's no dangerous pesticides to wash off, which is a tall order. But the idea of making this a consumer problem is one that I think ignores kind of the greater issues about how big these problems are.
But what's the scenario here? And I guess I address this to both of you. And Catherine Carr, why don't you take a crack at it first? I mean, are we talking about a predisposition because of some maybe subtle changes in the brain for a kid who's set down in an environment where there's a bunch of screens going and mom has a BlackBerry and dad's, listening to music, that people are more likely to be distracted in that environment, in which case it's hard to find a particular cause, Dr. Carr?
Well, again, I think it's hard to pin down, and it probably is not realistic to think there is a single cause. But certainly, you know, we all live in a complex world where there are multiple exposures that occur, things that occur in our environment, like the setting you just described.
Yeah, I'm getting a phone call right now.
Exactly. As well as, you know, chemical contaminants and then our background biological genetic basis of how we might deal with those exposures and for chemicals, how we might metabolize them and get rid of them from our bodies or how they might affect our bodies.
Right. And I think it's important to recognize that ADHD isn't just a matter of not being able to focus. There are a lot of other symptoms and issues that might seem unrelated that have to do with behavioral issues, that have to do with, you know, things that might not even seem to be connected to ADHD. And it's the type of thing where everybody gets distracted, but some people get headaches and some people get migraines. And when you're talking about ADHD, that's kind of a much more serious disorder that has things that is not just, oh, we can't sit still for 20 minutes.
Okay, but Kate, help me out here as a parent. I read articles about new studies all the time telling me about foods that are dangerous, about activities that are dangerous, products that are dangerous. How do I put these in context? How do I make it? I mean, clearly I can't shut my son up into a safe room and protect him from everything out there. How do I gauge this?
That would make him healthy. That would make him really healthy.
Well, yeah,
and quiet.
And it's not good for your mental health either to be going back and forth, especially when a study will come out one week that says something and then the absolute opposite will come out next week. There's a great website run by the Environmental Working Group where you can put in the products that you use and it will tell you what chemicals are in it and what they've been shown to do, how dangerous they are. But again, you can't sit down in front of the website and put in every single product. I think what we're seeing a lot of these studies, again, it's about the quantity of exposure. So, you know, children of migrant farmers are seeing a lot more exposure to this pesticide than people who, you know, eat strawberries once a week. Okay. So it's something that you need to be concerned about. It's something that you need to take precautions. But again, this shouldn't just be your responsibility. It's something that the government needs
Kate
to
Daly,
do.
Kate Daly with Newsweek.com and Dr. Catherine Carr joins us. She's a pediatrician and environmental health specialist at the University of Washington.